If I was an agent, I just got my license yesterday, and for whatever reason, I want to get into commercial sales. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give me?
And so really, to represent your client, you really have to have a pretty good understanding of these nuanced differences. And also, there's just a whole different technique about the process. With commercial space, unlike residential, you often have a study period. You have a formal study period. And during that study period is when you actually go through and...
Welcome to the No Broke Months for Real Estate Agents podcast. Working as a real estate agent can be incredibly rewarding and fulfilling, but it can also be frustrating if you aren't making the money you deserve. So if you're ready to end the stressful cycle of working hard for no results, then get started with a proven step-by-step system so that every month is No Broke Months.
Peter Piccorni is a commercial real estate agent and a real estate attorney. He has over 10 years of experience in commercial real estate transactions. Peter also has expertise in office and retail leasing. Peter also served as an arbitrator for the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the largest independent regulator for all securities firms doing business in the United States. Before his real estate work, Peter was an assistant general counsel for the Council of Better Business Bureaus, the network hub for BBBs in the US and Canada. Peter will discuss the difference between commercial and residential real estate in this interview.
My name is Dan Roshan, and I'm the host of the No Broke Months podcast, which is a show for real estate agents that's designed to help you have no broke months. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the show.
Hello, consistent, predictable income community. Today, I'm joined with my friend Peter Piccorni, and we're going to talk about the difference between residential, I'm like the residential guy, and commercial real estate. So Peter is, he's in the DMV area. I'm in the DMV area. That's right outside DC. So he's my referral guy for any commercial deals that I do. And he's also a real estate attorney, and he has more than a decade of experience in commercial real estate transactions and an expertise in office and retail leasing specifically. And so, Peter, welcome. How are you doing today?
Good, good. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for inviting me to talk on your show.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So, Peter, so tell us, what's the difference between commercial and residential real estate?
Well, I think the one main difference is commercial is like the wild, wild west. It's very unregulated. Residential, on the other hand, is very regulated because you have a lot of state regulations and federal regulations. I think the thought there is that buyers, residential buyers, need to be protected, whereas in the commercial side, you have generally business people, and the feeling is that business people generally don't need to be as protected, that they often have their own counsel.
Yeah, so there's like a presumption that if you're investing in commercial, that you have some sort of degree of either knowledge or a resource to access somebody with knowledge versus in a residential deal, the agent often is the they do have a fiduciary to that client to be able to provide that knowledge. Do you agree with the way I'm perceiving that?
Yeah, that's correct in theory. In practicality, I've had clients who have no idea. I kind of wonder, you're doing commercial real estate, you have no idea what you're getting into.
Well, that's why they hire you, man.
But in theory, that is correct, yes.
So let's, before, I'm going to ask you about some challenges in resident or in commercial real estate. But before I do so, like, what specific types of deals do you broker?
Well, I kind of wear two hats. I have two businesses. I'm a commercial real estate attorney with a law firm called Real Estate Counselors, which is a boutique law firm. And I'm also with the commercial division of Long & Foster, where I'm a commercial agent. And so on the legal side, we work on leases and acquisitions and sales, forming LLCs, joint ventures. I do the same thing on the brokerage side, but primarily I've been doing a lot of leasing on the brokerage side.
Okay. So you do a lot of, a lot of like setting up LLCs, a lot of setting up the entities of somebody that would need to sort of the logistics to be able to invest. Do I understand that correctly?
That's part of it. I think the main thing that we do is on the legal side is we review your leases and purchase agreements and help you negotiate the leases and purchase agreements to make sure that they conform to the market conditions and that there aren't any, there's not anything unusual or deceptive in those leases.
Okay. So for perspective, in Northern Virginia, where I sell real estate and where Peter helps in commercial, the residential sales contract is 12 pages, not including the addendums, or at least the exclusive right to represent agreement. The sales agreement's many, many less pages. So it sort of depends, like 4 or 5 pages. How many pages is a typical commercial lease or commercial sales transaction? How many pages are they typically?
Well, it really depends on the transaction, but I would say normally in this area, they're usually like 60 to 70 pages. It could be a lot longer. I had one a few months ago that was 160 pages. And then it could be shorter if it's like a mom and pop and like maybe out towards like Fredericksburg. I've seen some that, you know, are shorter.
Okay.
But the thing that really gets to me is that what landlords are doing nowadays, Dan, is they try to make the lease agreement appear shorter. So what they do is they select a smaller font. They'll put like 10-point font. They'll put it on legal size paper. And they're you know, reduce the margins. Extend the margins. And so what looks like a 30-page lease is actually 60 pages.
Yeah, because there's no header room, there's no footer room, and there's no left or right.
Yeah. And I have to explain that to my client. You know, this is not really a 30-page lease. You know, I mean, if I have a magnifying glass, it's a 30-page lease. But, you know,
in reality. What types of things do you see in there? Like, what types of things would a client, be concerned about?
Well, it depends too, because you have office leases, you have retail leases, you have warehouse leases. So retail leases are often the most extensive. So retail leases basically control everything about your life. They have hours of operation, the fact that you can't close down, you have to keep continuously operating, things like that. And often what you want to do is, sometimes what happens is the landlord will lease you retail space, but they'll lease you office space, but they'll give you a retail lease. And so you want to get rid of some of those terms that are in your office lease. For example, they may say that you have to keep your office continually open. Well, if you have an office space, you don't really need to do that. You need that for a retail space, things like that.
What's been the biggest thing that you've seen that's been just like either a pain in the ass or the biggest nightmare or something that didn't seem like it was legit? What's the biggest thing that you've come across?
Oh, let's see. I'm trying to think.
What's been your biggest obstacle just in business in general, whether it be the attorney side or the commercial broker side?
Well, I think the biggest obstacle has been that there's a perception that there's a glut in commercial real estate. So in office, there is quite a bit of vacancy in office space. But in, for example, industrial warehouse, I have a number of clients that are looking for industrial warehouse space. And it's a real obstacle because it's hard to find space for a lot of these clients. That sector is really pretty tough.
Okay. And so do you expect the retail will ever come back? I mean, not retail, office. Office. Do you expect office will ever come back?
Well, I think that's a good question. I don't think anybody really knows.
I'm just asking because I'm a regretful owner of some office space. Fully leased right now, thank God. But
right. Well, I think what's happening too is a lot of office space is being repurposed.
Yeah.
You know, as you can see, like especially here in Alexandria, a lot of it's being repurposed for, let's say, medical, or even some of the retail shopping centers are repurposing.
Where do you see the opportunity in commercial real estate in the near future?
Well, I think there's a lot of opportunity, obviously, if you're an owner, if you have warehouses, if you have retail space, you know, it kind of in line with what we just said, you know, office space is, you know, going to be a little bit tougher. I have an office building here in Alexandria that we've been trying to lease out, and it's been pretty tough.
What causes it to be tough?
Because I think there's a fair amount of space out there, you know, especially, you know, with the pandemic and all that, as people have heard. You know, people aren't going back to the office. So there's just a lot of vacancy. A lot of tenants are giving up their office space. So it's really, there's kind of a glut out there in certain areas.
I know when I, like, once upon a time, I used to own a residential real estate brokerage. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I would get agents that would come to me and they would say, hey, I just got my license and I want to do residential, but I also want to do commercial as well. Now, from a residential, from a reforming residential broker, that's the way I call myself, I would counsel them against that. Because from my perspective, not only the challenge of finding the clients in one arena or the other takes a lot of effort, but also the knowledge of understanding the pitfalls, understanding the nuances, understanding the traditions, understanding the law, et cetera, though, of course, we're not lawyers. You are, but many brokers are not. But understanding those nuances from one world to the other, it's really hard to be able to learn both. Would you agree with my perception on that? Like, you should probably pick one or the other, at least initially.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. And so in my case, you know, I focus on commercial. I wouldn't really do residential because that's quite a different animal also.
Yeah.
But with commercial, I mean, you've got so many different types of commercial. You have office space, you have retail space, you have industrial warehouse, you have hospitality. And those are each further broken down into subcategories. So, for example, with office, you have medical. With retail, you have gyms, you have restaurants and things like that. And each of those have like different nuances that are particular to that category. So, for example, with medical, I mean, you have to understand that there's concerns about handicap access, you know, what kind of equipment you can have in the space, you know, how heavy is it. We also represent like defense contractors. And so they have their own special requirements, like security issues, you know, access to the space, SCIF space, things of that nature. And so really, to represent your client, you really have to have a pretty good understanding of these nuanced differences. And also, there's just a whole different technique about the process. With commercial space, unlike residential, you often have a study period. You have a formal study period. And during that study period is when you actually go through and do all your due diligence, your environmental appraisals and title and things of that nature. So there's like differences in the process also.
So you mentioned SCIF, and for the viewers or listeners that may not be familiar, so that's secure space, because we're outside DC. And so
right,
a lot of contractors that would be working, you know, on behalf of the government or have a contract with the government, that type of stuff.
If you're looking for No Broke Months, I invite you to join the 5-Day Challenge for free. Save your seat at 5daylistingchallenge.com. That's the number 5daylistingchallenge.com. You'll learn how to take listings in today's market without cold calling, door knocking, or begging. That's 5daylistingchallenge.com. We help real estate agents have no broke months.
For you specifically, do you have a lot of clients that are in that world of, you know, like being a contractor for the government or being the government or anything like that?
Yeah, we actually represent quite a few. We represent some of the large defense contractors. We're their outside counsel for commercial real estate. So they actually have properties all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
So you can run into SCIF space issues, let's say in Kansas and other places.
Sure.
It's not just, you know, they're always like leasing, subleasing, assigning, and things of that nature.
What got you involved in commercial real estate?
Well, I was also counsel for the Pennsylvania Bar Association and American Bar Association. So I worked with numerous practice areas, and real estate kind of appealed to me more so than some other areas. As you can probably imagine, you know, I've seen what family law is like in some of those areas. And I said, I don't think I want to go towards those areas. So that's kind of what kind of gave me that exposure. I also ran a financing company. So I had experience with financing small businesses and working with small businesses. So that kind of helped in this area.
So you became an attorney first, and then years later, you got your real estate license years later. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, I was practicing commercial real estate for about 10 years.
Okay.
And then I got my commercial real estate license, and I joined commercial division of Long & Foster. And so the two go complement each other. And so my commercial real estate law experience helps with the commercial brokerage side.
Okay. So What would an agent want to know, like, if they're considering, like, to get into commercial sales, right? Like, what is it that if I was an agent, I just got my license yesterday, and for whatever reason, I want to get into commercial sales. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give me?
Well, actually, believe it or not, that actually comes across quite often. People approach me, and I'm a part of a commercial real estate association. I'm going to do a little promotion here, if you don't mind.
Go for it, man.
It's a group called Mid-Atlantic Real Estate Marketing Association, MAREMA. So I'm on their board. And so a lot of times, if there's a residential agent and they're trying to break into commercial real estate, they can come to some of our meetings because it's an association for commercial real estate brokers, and they offer education and opportunity to meet with commercial agents. And then there's also, you can also take various courses in commercial real estate. There's a group called CCIM, which kind of gives you...
It's like you have to be like a math whiz to be...
Right. Yeah, they go into, get into investment analysis and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But with the group that I'm in, MAREMA, that's actually a good social business networking group, especially for... I've had a residential agent that just joined. He asked me like what to do, like you just asked. And I said, you know, come to our meeting. And he found that to be productive.
What's a typical meeting look like? You know, if I was to come to your meeting, what would I experience?
Well, usually what we do is we always have some kind of educational component where we have somebody present on an issue of commercial real estate. But really the gist of the meeting is to exchange properties. So people will get up there, make a presentation of properties that they have and also properties that they're looking for or leases that they have or leases that they're looking for. So it's really kind of an exchange. So it's really kind of a commercial real estate brokers association, and it gives people the opportunity to exchange properties, and residential agents can learn a lot, you know, just by listening to the process.
What's the biggest challenge that you're having as a real estate broker today?
I think the biggest challenge is really trying to close on a deal, is trying to find properties. Like I said, like with the industrial warehouse spaces, it's really tough out there now. So a lot of times I show people two or three properties and there's always a little nuance that they don't like. And so it often takes me several times to show somebody something before they actually close on it.
Well, of the people buying, how many are just looking at like the financials of it versus the usage of it, right? Like, so, you know, is it more investors that are looking for a great cap rate, or is it more end users that are looking for a space to run their, you know, their mechanical business out of, or whatever the case may be? What percentage are you looking at?
I think it really depends. I mean, it can be both.
Yeah.
I mean, most of my clients are end users. So I have a lot of clients who are looking for like gym space. They're looking for a space for their bakery, for their restaurants, things of that nature.
Okay. Because I would imagine that if it's an investor, it's basically just down to the numbers. And, you know, I mean,
right.
I mean, obviously there's other things that, you know, they're going to look at as well. Like, you know, how stable are, you know, what's the future going to bring, right? But it's
right,
basically a math problem for an investor, but for an end user, it's more of a, there's a lot more into it that's going to make or break, you know, if this is going to work for them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, if you're doing as an investment, you really have to understand cash flow and all the formulas like cap rates, internal rate of returns, all those things that we were talking about, CCIM, the investment analysis. With end users, it's a little bit simpler. I mean, end users are really kind of looking to see, you know, if the space will fit their needs. Often, like I have a bakery, and when they're looking at property, they have to make sure that they can build it out, that you can bring in, like, the ventilation. You know, you can have the ventilation and things like that. One of the more difficult clients I have is when I have vape shops, because a lot of landlords don't want to lease the vape shops. So that's kind of a challenge.
Have you had any marijuana shops yet, or just vape?
Well, I just had vape. I haven't had the luxury of having marijuana shops yet, but you never know.
They change
if you CVS, have any, let me know.
There's a CVS. It used to be a CVS, and now it's a marijuana dispensary.
And
I'm like, wasn't that used to be a CVS?
That seems a little bit.
Hello, No Broke Months podcast listener. This is Dan Roshan. I just want to take a moment of my time to thank you for being a listener to the show. And because of you and others, we've just passed 250,000 downloads of the show.
and I am so freaking excited. Yet, I want to help more real estate agents have no broke months. And I'm asking for you, if you're receiving value from this show and you think a colleague, a real estate agent, somebody who you know might also receive value, spread the love, spread the word, let them know about the show. Because my mission is to be able to help agents have no broke months, because no agent ever should. So thank you for your time. Like, subscribe, and spread the word. Where does your business come from, Peter?
You know, my business comes from all over. Like, I've gotten business from the Chamber of Commerce. I've gotten business through Long & Foster, through some of the agents at Long & Foster. I've gotten agents through social media. I've gotten agents through my law practice. Yeah, it's kind of all over.
What failure would you say you've learned most from?
Boy, you asked some pretty tough questions, Dan. What failure have I learned most from?
I'm going to bring you back to your five-year-old self here next.
So yes. I'm a very positive person. I try not to think about failures.
What learning opportunity have you learned from?
Well, I think working with some difficult clients, you know, I've learned a lot. I also had a financing business. And that was very, very challenging, talking about having clients. I was financing clients that couldn't get conventional loans.
Okay.
And so there that was a quite a learning experience, because a lot of these, I had to really watch out, because a lot of these people were really trying to basically scam me. In fact, I was involved in a lot of litigation, because you often had very sophisticated clients who would come out and they would basically try to defraud you. Gotcha. And so that was... And in fact, that's actually kind of a big problem now. Even on my legal side, you wouldn't believe how many people have reached out to me that are just trying to scam and defraud you.
How so?
It's often a international buyer, and they want you to hold escrow. They say they're coming in, they're working with a real commercial realtor, and they want you to hold escrow, and it's a fraud. But I actually had a client. Turned out that he was a fraud, but was really, really, really sophisticated, because they were like an oil company, and they had the whole spiel. They had websites, and it was very sophisticated. And actually, two attorneys gave me a referral from this company. And even those attorneys were like fooled by this fraud.
Were they trying to place money into escrow and then take it back or something like that? Or what was the fraud?
I think the fraud is what they do is, and people don't realize this, but they'll want you to hold money in escrow. So you put it in your bank account, and a check doesn't necessarily clear in 2 weeks. It can take longer. And so what happens is you deposit the check. You think it's safe in you think it's deposited because you got a clearance from the bank. Then what the fraudster will do is 2 days later, they say they changed their mind. Can you return the money? You return the money thinking that it had cleared, when in reality, sometimes it can take several weeks for it to clear. And then you're liable to the bank, and then you run into problems with the bar association because, you know, you held money in escrow and all that. And so it could be a real disaster.
When I used to own a brokerage, I've had that scam where they've put the money into the escrow account and then asked for it back. And we did not, luckily, give it back. You know, say, hey, look, we have to wait for this to clear, that type of thing.
Right. So, yeah.
But I would expect that in commercial that the escrows are going to be even higher than in residential. You know, I mean,
right.
In you know, residential, you're looking at maybe a $10,000 escrow would be like on the high side, where you're talking probably $50,000, $100,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it makes sense that they're going to go after you. Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe it. I mean, they approach commercial brokers, agents.
Yeah.
You know, I referred them to title companies, and they try to do this to title companies, you know, so it's like there's no shame.
What would you tell yourself today if you were starting over today in commercial real estate brokerage with the knowledge that you have today? What would you tell yourself? What advice would you give to Peter?
Well, I would say that there's a lot of components to commercial real estate. And so I think to be successful at it, you have to be able to generate business. So you have to be successful at networking. And then you also have to really focus on learning the area of expertise. And And so I think the best way to learn that is really to play Monopoly. That's the key, to play Monopoly. As a young child, if you play Monopoly, you'll learn real estate and, you know.
Just keep buying and holding.
Right, exactly.
Peter, how can somebody get in touch with you if they have a need for commercial real estate, and what areas do you serve? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, you can reach out to me by phone at 703-850-9099. Again, that's 703-850-9099. Or you can send me an email at peter.pokorny, that's P-O-K-O-R-N-Y, at lnf.com. That's longandfoster.com, lnf.com. Or you can reach out to me on my legal firm, which is peter@recdc.com. Yeah, so and then like I said, my areas of expertise are leasing, acquisitions, and sales. In each practice area, both on the law firm side and the brokerage side, I'm a part of a team. We have people on our team who are experienced in, you know, different areas. And so if I don't have that expertise, you know, somebody on my team will have that expertise.
Got it. Peter, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us today. I really appreciate your time. And wish you much success moving forward. And thank you for being a resource for me as well.
Oh, well, thanks, Dan. I really appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for listening to the No Broke Months podcast today. Until the next show, I invite for you to be grateful, make good choices, help someone, have the best day of your life, and go find a listing.
I'm a seasoned agent, but I've certainly had some months with no business and some cash flow issues. Dan's opened my eyes to a lot of things and taught me things that I just haven't been able to get anywhere else. So learning his methodologies has been really helpful to me in my life and, very importantly, in my business.